Soloist Ricardo Morales is still smiling as he's come off the stage. But Ricardo, you're always smiling.
It's always such a great pleasure to be able to play with the orchestra and my colleagues, and it's always a great experience. So,
well, bravo. It was wonderful.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Now, these two pieces that you just played are both 40-40 pieces, which means the audience may not be that familiar with them. But when did you first play them?
Actually, the Rossini, the first time I played it was actually not that long ago. The first time I actually played with orchestra was 3 years ago, even though it's a piece that we love to play, so we play in recitals and things like that. But with orchestra, it's always a new experience. The new balances and the kinds of flexibilities that one has to take are a little bit different. So it's always really interesting. And it was even funnier that in the rehearsal, I was doing some rubatos where some of my colleagues were anticipating that I would do some more. And so they were so quick. It was funny. It's like, no, I'll wait for you. Or not. No, I'll wait for you. No. So it was really a wonderful thing to have such great musicians and have this collaboration and this love of music. It's really contagious.
Well, the theme and variations is so much fun to listen to. And as an audience member, even if you've not heard it before and you don't know it, it kind of teaches you about it, because first you have the theme and then you have all these variations. Yes. It's like setting the theme free. Do you have a favorite?
I'm sort of a kind of a cheesy kind of guy. So my favorite one is the Largo, the slow one. It has the most operatic of them all. Of course, the theme is from La Donna del Lago that he borrowed from himself. And the variations are really playful and cute, and I must admit that I learned some of that idiom by playing for many years at the Metropolitan Opera and doing a lot of Barbara Sevilla and like Cenerentola and things like that. So it was a good reminder just to keep it nice and fresh and keep the speedy approach to it. And so I always love the opportunity when things calm down for a second and then the little drama before the grand finale.
Well, both pieces, even though they were composed 100 years apart, they were composed in conservatory settings. Mm-hmm. And Debussy composed the Rhapsody when he was a faculty member?
He was the head of the Paris Conservatory at the time.
And he composed them for juries.
Yes.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, for the Paris Conservatory, they have a contest at the end. It's a graduation. Instead of it's their exam. And then from there, they determine whether there's a premier prix, a first prize, basically like a valedictorian in the instruments. And they assign different prizes. And actually, Debussy was not very fond of these contest pieces and this musical contest. And it's interesting. It's basically ironic that it is the most performed contest piece, the most wonderful, and one piece that we explain a player's treasure very much.
Is it designed, or both pieces, designed to show off the capability of the clarinet?
I would say that the Rossini certainly gives an opportunity for that show-off approach. The Debussy, it's more of being able to demonstrate musically what are the capabilities of the clarinet. And therefore, in many ways, one doesn't hear it so much as a show-off piece. Yeah, Debussy's music is so organic that one cannot help but just listen to the ethereal quality and the beauty of the music and the textures and not really think that it's actually meant to determine basically one's skill as a clarinetist, but actually as a musician, because it was a pretty treacherous piece when it first came out, and only one could actually play it at all. So it's sort of interesting, because usually the competition is fierce, but the piece was supposed to be so tough that one player was the one who was actually able to make a musical rendition of it, and therefore win the Premier Prix that first time.
So this piece, you're saying, is designed to show off not only the technique, but the way a musician interprets it.
It actually tries to show off the musicianship, meaning you have to try not to show the technical aspects of it, because they are basically hidden in the music and the phrases and how he puts the harmonies and the passages together. So it's much more of a musical contest piece as compared to a technical contest piece. It's one of the things that we as musicians have always been in conflict with, because since it's an art, what we do, and there's such subjectivity, then it's very hard to determine who is best at what, etc. And, you know, you can always find somebody who can trill or play a chromatic scale or some passage faster or whatever, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's better just because it's faster. So many different elements, sound, phrasing, the tempo relationships, all those kinds of things, the color changes that actually come to determine what full musicianship is. So too many little things to try to put together in a very short piece.
How has your relationship with the Debussy changed over the years? Do you have any particular favorite parts or parts that intrigue you in different ways?
I have found that the thing that I have learned the most over the years is that it is a piece that requires a lot of control, but it's mostly for color and singing qualities, surprisingly enough. It's the way that it's written, it can be very tricky because there are so many pianos and pianissimos and diminuendo, etc., which with piano one can do in a particular way, but when he later orchestrated it, you cannot always play a pianissimo like one would play when you're playing in a recital hall as compared to in a concert hall. So it is much more about texture and color, and I actually have grown to love it much more. And even though the piano part is fantastic and the original way that he did it, the orchestration is so beautiful that as a player, it feels like a completely different piece because you hear all these different textures and all these different sounds. So I have grown to admire it and respect it much more. But you know how it is. The more one knows, the more you realize that you don't really know that much. So that's how it goes with this music.
I was wondering if your relationship with the piece might also change because of your intricate knowledge of the instrument, because you know the clarinet inside and out, literally, because you not only play it, but you have developed a line of clarinets.
That's right.
And you have experimented with sound by changing the bell and the barrel. Does that change how you play the piece?
Absolutely. Actually, there are many passages that are, in a way, I won't call them easier, but I'll say less difficult because of the work that I have done with my colleague, Murray Bakunin, designing this clarinet, MOBA clarinet. So then a lot of the intervals are a little bit better in tune and the response is much better. So therefore, I can concentrate much more on the color that I want to project in terms of the piece. And the version that most people play is a version that was done by that clarinetist, the one that actually won that Premier Prix. He did a couple of different changes in some of the music because it was much more difficult, number one, to play in tune, and because there are some instruments that lack a couple extra keys. Therefore, the work that how he wrote it is more difficult. And he changed it, and because he did so well, Debussy told Durand, the publisher, oh, sure, you can publish it the way that he did it. But he wasn't persuaded to change his original thought.
So he was willing to go along with these changes then?
Then, yes. Well, I mean, it was so difficult that a lot of people had such trouble actually playing it. So I think that he was relieved that somebody could actually make a realization of the piece, even though there might be like 10 measures that he changed in order to facilitate certain passages. I think that is a way where a composer sometimes yields to practicality, but at the same time he understood that he wanted to keep his original manuscript perhaps for the future, so that then hopefully at some different time it could be played the way that he had actually composed it. So now, you know, almost 100 years later, I'm lucky enough to have been able to have a copy of the original, the manuscript of the piano part. And so I have been able to restore some of the things that he had originally put in there.
So you played it the way Debussy actually composed it.
Well, I tried as much as possible. As live performances go, I tried to do the best I could to actually, play his version.
What's it like playing the Debussy and then the Rossini together?
Actually, it is a great challenge. They are short, but it's just like a 100-meter dash race. It's like a lot of intensity. So in many ways, it's much more demanding than playing a half-hour long work because there it's just really intense, intensely packed. But it just keeps you with your mind just going at a million miles an hour, and it's just great fun to be able to do this and a great privilege.
Well, it was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Nathan.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.